What's up, fam? It is Ali Shinaki, and welcome back to my podcast. I am so excited that y'all are here. I believe that the Lord has brought you here because he has a word he wants to speak specifically to you today. So I hope y'all are excited and ready to see God move and speak into your lives. But before we even get started, do not forget to subscribe and click the download button. Trust me, you do not want to miss out on anything God is doing here or miss out on any of the new podcasts coming out. So make sure y'all subscribe and download and drop a review. I'd love to hear what you guys want to hear next and what you guys are thinking about the podcast. Let's get started. What is up, the Ali Shinaki and Chosen and Free fam podcast? I am so excited to be back with you guys another week. And this week is honestly one of your top requested guests. So y'all better get ready and...
Wow.
Malik, you just ruined the surprise.
No, it's not me.
I was really going to... Wait, I said Malik.
Yeah, you said
I ruined the surprise. Ruined. Well, guys, today we have Malik Brookins, my good friend, on the podcast. I know probably a lot of y'all follow Malik, but for those of you guys that don't, do you just want to like tell them a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I can. What's up, guys? My name is Malik Brookins. I'm from Chicago. Fun fact, I have a webbed finger on my left hand.
Oh my gosh, you just pulled that out right away?
I did. That's like my go-to fun fact.
Dang.
Yeah, I moved to Florida in 2015. Met Ali on a mission trip to Brazil. That was
Talk
crazy.
Talk about that trip.
That trip was crazy.
Dude, that trip changed my life.
No, it actually did.
I need to do...
It was fun.
Honestly, me and Malik could just sit here for the whole entire 30 minutes and talk about that Brazil trip.
Yeah.
And who knows? We actually might, because that was crazy. I never saw God move like
that
I did
like
on that trip.
The start of our friendship, then the 100 projects.
So me and Malik, we were chill because we were in the bus. We put this thing up this guy's nose and it was so freaking funny. And I think that's when I knew we were going to be friends.
Yeah.
Until we weren't going to be friends because we went to this McDonald's and I walked away and Malik told my friend Adelina.
No, this is cap.
No,
this
it's not.
Such
he
cap.
Literally looked at her and
no,
said,
I did not.
I think that girl likes me.
Cap.
I think that girl likes
cap.
Me.
We can call Adelina right now.
Don't make us.
No way. Should we?
Should we?
There's no.
I don't know. You guys put in the comments what you guys think is true.
I don't remember saying that.
I totally believe it. I was like, dang, this guy really done things.
No, I don't think so. I definitely don't think so.
Was there ever a time you thought I liked you?
No, I thought Carol liked me.
Yeah, I thought Carol liked
you
for a second too. I'm not even going to lie.
Me. Back in Georgia.
Anyways, guys, this is more like a vlog right now. This
exactly.
is so much fun. I love talking real with you guys and just really like letting you guys in on our lives because at the end of the day, like we are all friends. That's why we do this podcast so that we can form community and really just share what we feel like the Lord has put on our hearts and that we wish we would have known earlier on in life. So Malik is absolutely incredible. He's a really special part of our team. God brought him in a crazy way, as you can tell. You know, we were friends, but then we weren't friends, and now Malik is my brother. It's absolutely incredible
honestly,
how things work.
Every day we do life together.
Every single he's actually moving next to me.
Yeah, next door.
Instead of on the couch. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's definitely a God thing for sure.
It is a God thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Which is crazy because growing up, I used to struggle with friends so hard. Did you ever struggle with friends? I feel like you didn't.
No.
You got along with everyone.
I feel like when we lived and like when we moved to different places, I was always outside with somebody.
Must be nice. Am I right? I know some of you guys feel me though, but I always struggled with friends. And you know that verse that talks about how God knows the desires of your heart?
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe that like he let me go through that season so that I could be a voice for y'all that are going through that season. So I just wanted to encourage you guys. God does bring people into your life. He does bring friends into your life. And if he's not in this current season, just know that he's enough that you can lean on him and find your identity in him. We're going to be talking a lot about identity today.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking a lot about worship and authority because Malik loves this topic.
I love that. I love it so much.
I love it too. But do you want to tell them a little bit about like worship, how you got into that? Were you always into ministry?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm from Chicago and my dad has always been a pastor. He's always done ministry. So just growing up, I would go with him wherever he, you know, went to preach. I was like kind of his armor bearer. Like I just made sure I served him wherever
he word.
Went. I know, right? Guys, if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's a great word. But when I got like older, I just developed a habit for like worship. Like I've always been a musician. I've always wanted to play drums and play piano. But it's different when you're a musician and then it's different when you're a musician and then you understand what true worship is. You know, we always know the We always go back to like David and who he was and being a worshiper. And what we need to realize is he was a man after God's heart. And that's like the overall definition of worship. Just surrender first off, and then giving everything you have to God and just being a vessel, wanting to be a vessel. Because when you, the moment you feel like, or you think that you know it all, is the moment when everything fails and crashes and burns.
Every single time.
Every time. Like, if you don't have humility and know that you're nothing, like literally absolutely nothing without Jesus, then
it's so true.
No, it's very true. It, like, even the Bible says pride comes before a great fall. And it's like, as soon as we get prideful and start thinking we know everything, then God can't use us. But just that's just my little rant on worship and how I feel about it.
I love that. And I think it was Julia's podcast that I talked about. We get so confused. And I know I bought into this lie for so long too, where you only like associate worship with singing.
Yes.
And it's not true.
Not it.
I always define worship as using the gifts God's given you for his glory. And I believe that's worship too, whether you're a dancer, an artist, a comedian, a friend, a daughter, a mom, a brother, a dad, like whatever you are, if you're using the gifts that God has given you to bring glory to him and reflect glory back to him, like
that's worship.
That is worship.
Yeah.
That is worship in its purest form. I was actually watching my sister's pageant the other day. She like competed in her first pageant and she ended up winning, which was crazy. But I was watching her dance and it's so insane to me how powerful your gifts can be when you use them for God. Mm-hmm. Like she got on that stage and I see people dance all the time. Like, I mean, we all have TikTok. Yeah. We see people, we see people dance when we don't want to see people dance. You know what I mean? My eyes are scarred from some things. Speaking of, aren't you creating a dance today?
We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about
it. Well, by the time you guys hear this, the big reveal will probably be out on his page. So go check that out right now. But no, I watched Noelle get on stage and she danced to this song called Alabaster Box.
Oh my gosh, that
song. Oh my gosh.
Will bring you straight to tears. That song is amazing.
It was like, I was sitting in this pageant after dying laughing at these girls that were singing, automatically brought to tears by watching like my sister dance like to this song Alabaster Box, because it was just so spirit-filled and so powerful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy crap, like God can use whatever we put at his feet for such an amazing purpose. And there was not one person in the room that did not feel that. And I think that's an amazing example of the quote I always bring up about how you're supposed to preach the gospel at all times. And then when it's required, use words.
Yeah.
We can literally be a light by just using our gifts, even in situations like that, because everyone in that room experienced Christ that day.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person.
It's definitely a difference too. If you just have a dancer that's really good and just did it. But when someone is a dancer and they have the anointing too,
yes,
and the Holy Spirit, that is a game changer.
It's crazy. It's a game changer. It's well, because the anointing is what like brings the Holy Spirit into the room and like sets the pace, which is a big thing about worship too. Mm-hmm. So do you ever feel like the pressure? Like how do you set yourself aside to get that special anointing? Like how do you get that anointing from God?
One is, there's so many steps. I'll start with practical first. One is like taking it practical and practicing whatever you're doing,
whether that's
singing, dancing, playing, whatever. Knowing lyrics is the practical side of it. Then two is offering your gift back to God. Like when you begin to play or sing or do whatever, it's like, God, like it's like praying, you know, when right before I'm about to practice, I'm like, God, this gift is for you. Give me new melodies. Give me new ideas. Give me new chords that has not been heard before, or chords that will warm your heart, that when you hear it, it's like, oh, that's pleasing to me. And it's like the anointing is being stirred through like you're playing or singing or different things.
Dude, I love that so much. I'm actually writing like this devotional called Romancing the Heart of God. And what I love that you really said is we can literally romance the heart of our creator.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind.
Like even back in the day, like Old Testament, they used to burn offerings and sweet fragrances like to God. And he was like, that's pleasing to me.
Right.
So it was like, why don't we think about that now? you know?
Right. And okay, I'm going to tell you guys this. I wasn't even going to do this because I'm in the works of it. But this whole entire devotional I'm writing is based off of the love languages quiz.
Oh,
and how we're created in God's image. And so I just, God gave me this revelation, like, you can meet my love languages. Like, if you're created in my image, you
That's
can
good.
Every single day wake up and deliberately, like, try to seek out to reach my love languages. And one of those is your gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, receiving gifts is a love language that you might have. And so when it comes back to God, I was like, how do we receive, like, how do we give God gifts for him to receive? And it's exactly what we're talking about today. We romance the heart of God. We make him happy when we're laying our lives down, laying our pride down, and just using what he's put in our hands for his glory.
Yeah.
Giving it back to him. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I've always thought about is, like, God can literally do anything and use anybody. But the one thing he can't do is worship himself. Like, that is, like, why we're created.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
Like, that is our sole purpose, is to worship God. Like, he can't worship himself. Like, our duty is to give everything back to him. It blew my mind once I thought about that. I was like, what the heck? Yeah.
Not me over here, mind blown. You know, when it's something so simple, you're like, how did I not think of this?
Yeah.
Because I say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when it just hits different, man?
Exactly.
I mean, I feel like so many times, even in my own life, I get so caught up on my mission in life that I forget about my purpose. And you can mix them up too, because mm-hmm. I think, oh my gosh, like, my purpose is to save souls. My purpose is to... But truly, you're right. Like, our purpose, why we're put on this earth, is to praise God.
Yeah.
And then our mission is to save souls.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have one without the other. Like, you do... That's crazy.
Yeah. You literally have to do both.
That's crazy, yeah. Malik. I don't know why I haven't thought of that before. It reminds me of Philippians 4:13, where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether you're new to Christianity, not even a Christian,
yeah,
always grown up in church like us, I know you've heard that verse, or at least seen it on a coffee cup and Cracker Barrel, because it's like all the freak over.
Yeah.
And it's true, like Malik was just talking about, there's no end to what Christ can do, mm-hmm. except for worship himself. But also, if we just think about, like, what limits am I putting on God? Like, what exactly. limits are we putting on God right
Never
now in our lives?
In a box.
No, because I mean, I even say this myself all the time. If I think about a vision that I think is too big for me, my faith in God is too small, because yep. I know his abilities are greater than even my imagination could wander.
Exactly.
So it makes me reevaluate in my heart. But okay, Malik, more about you, because this is like, by the way, ladies, he is single.
I
so
am.
I'm interviewing him for that
Very
too right now.
Single. Very
so,
much single.
Malik.
Yeah.
How do you use, like, the gifts God has given you, like, to bring glory to him other than worship? Like, what are the ways, like, you identify the gifts he's given you? Because a lot of people listening might not even know what they're gifted in.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes. I feel like you don't hear this much, but I feel like one of the gifts that God has given me is to really draw people together. And that's been my heart.
Cool.
I think I could use an example. When I first got to SCU, that
it's
was the college.
College.
Yeah, the university I went to in Lakeland. In high school, I was very timid and not talkative of, like, at all. Like, so when I got to, like, my university,
there's
like, to myself, because I was like at this new high school. I just moved to Florida. I knew some people, but it's like I wasn't really out there like that, like I was at SCU.
He's out there now.
Like when I first got to SCU, I was like, bro, my main mission here is to make sure everyone feels like they have a friend, or like they home, like, or a home, or a guy that they can talk to. Like, that was my goal. So, like, I would go up to anybody. We, like, an athlete on SCU worship, just a random person, like, whoever. I was like, I made it my mission and my goal to be like, bro, I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna be your friend if you don't have a friend. And I can say by the end of my senior year, like, when I graduated and I became, like, the homecoming king, like, yes, it's like,
yeah,
it's like a big thing. It was like, oh, you're the homecoming king. But to me, it was like, bro, this is my mission from day one. And the fact that people voted me to feel like they had a friend in me made it so, so, so real. Because it was like, you know, I just want to be like that person that showed the positivity, that showed the love endlessly, no matter who you were. Because my main goal in life is to always show the light of Christ through me, wherever I go, just to be a carrier of his presence. So like even with this apparel line that I'm trying to drop, it's just be the light. Like whether it's spiritually or naturally, just be like the person that you would want someone else to treat you as, you know.
That's so good. It's almost like God said, good job.
Yeah.
You know? And I think he sends us those signs all the time. The only difference is like, are we spiritually aware so that we can see them?
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have just won Homecoming King and been like, yeah, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, guys. But because you were intentionally going into something, okay, God, this is my mission. This is why you've put me here. And this could be your college. This could be your workplace. This could be your family, your friend group.
Yeah.
Like, I would just encourage y'all. God has put you where you're at for a reason. So make sure you're being intentional and asking God why you're there so that you will be faithful to fulfill like the assignment he's put on your life, just like Malik did, because that was cool. Like God is right on time. That was right at the end.
Yeah, it was. It like, really was.
Like literally right at the end, yep, before you were done.
And it's like usually like people post like, oh, I'm running for Homecoming King. I didn't run. I just like was just voted in. Like usually people put up flyers and stuff. It's like, you know, me and this person is running for Homecoming and Queen, whatever. But I just like, people just voted me in. And it's so funny because I wasn't even there to win. Like I was traveling with SU Worship at the time, but like I still won. And it was a blessing. But yeah, it was
God.
Yeah, it really was.
It was literally God saying, good job. Like you were faithful where I've been, like where I placed you.
Yeah.
That is so sick.
It's crazy.
Dude, I love Malik and like his heart for the Lord and just his heart for people. And it really is just such an amazing testimony to, you don't have to have the most crazy talent in the world. You just have to be willing for God to use you.
Yeah.
Obedience. And he will.
Yeah.
So what does a vessel look like to you? Because I know earlier we talked about being a vessel. And for those of like you guys listening that don't know, I just kind of want you to explain like what that is.
To me, I look at, oh, a vessel. I kind of think of a vessel as obviously someone who can be used by God. Mm-hmm. But within that, it definitely requires a level of obedience when it comes to being a vessel. Because it's easy to I'm trying to say it right. It's super easy to be like, God, is that you? Like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's me. Or is it you? It's like, I feel like we double, what is the word? It's like we double.
I'm Dana Perino. Join me for my brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. As we analyze the 2024 election cycle, make sure you subscribe to this series on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts and leave me a rating and review.
I can't think of it.
Words are hard.
Yeah, words are very hard. But it's like we always just question God. Right. And I feel like when becoming a vessel, questioning should not be an option. Like when you hear God, it should just be obedience.
I'm going.
Yes, I'm doing it. Someone once said it should be like God says, jump. Like your response should be how high? Like you should just go, like immediately go and be that vessel unto the Lord. But it's scary. Like it's super scary because
it takes you dying to yourself.
Yes,
that's why it's
a sacrifice.
It's like. Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when you follow God, and if you're new to Christianity, like this might help you a lot because I know I grew up in the church, but I really didn't know who God was for myself until like maybe I was 14 when I was saved at a youth camp, mm-hmm. actually at SEU. And it was crazy. Like it is ridiculous sacrifice. You think because you're in a service and they're like, God wants to take all of your burdens, give you new life, eternity. You're like, heck yeah, I'm going to do that. My life is going to be so much easier. God is on my side, orchestrating my steps.
Good.
He is for me, not against me. No weapon shall prosper. Yeah. Like, come on. He will give me the desires of my heart. This mm-hmm. is like the good life. And when you step into it and you realize, okay, I have all these things, but I'm still in a broken world. Like your faith can be shaken like crazy. And you're like, okay, is this God thing even real? And I would just encourage you guys, like we are in a broken world. So things are going to happen. But when we have God on our side, we can rest in the fact knowing that he will work all things together for our good, despite what the current circumstance looks like. And if we sacrifice what our flesh wants, whether it's purity that you're struggling with, whether it's a job, moving somewhere, like it could literally be whatever.
Yep.
And we are obedient to God, he will blow our minds with his faithfulness, with his provision. His plans will be greater than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. But it's going to require some real sacrifice. Whether it's time with your friends. I know in the current season I'm in, like one of my friends just got engaged, whatever. And
I feel like that's everybody.
Oh, everybody's
getting engaged right now.
And it was really sad. Like, I honestly cried for days and days and days because I found out I wasn't one of her bridesmaids. And I grew up with this girl, like literally one of my best friends in the entire world. And it broke my heart. And like, I literally went out on the kayak, right? And was just like paddling, just bawling my eyes out to God, just so upset. Because it wasn't even a question in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt like the Lord told me, are you where, like, you know that I've called you in this season? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, do your relationships suffer because of that with some people? And I was like, yeah. And he said, would you trade it for anything? That's and I good. Wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't. And it doesn't mean God doesn't care about our friendship. It just means if God's calling you to do something in this season, you've got to trust that that's more important than the other things going around. And it requires you to sacrifice, like hanging out with your friends all the time,
yep.
or maybe even making more money. Maybe God's calling you to step down from a job to be obedient in another place. You won't make as much.
Yeah.
Like, he will take care of us. He sees us. He still hurts when we hurt. Like, when I was crying, he was crying with me. Like, yeah. he cares about our broken heart, but he knows that what he has in store is so much better than we could ever imagine. Yeah. And that is what's good for us. Obedience is what fills you. Obedience is better than anything that this world has to offer. But
I was literally just going through that same thing, because when it comes to like social media, I feel like God has called me to steward like the gift and the platform that he has like called me to.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like really going
hard.
Back and forth. It is. And I was going back and forth because some of my really, really close friends who I went to SCU with, you know, just went on a mission trip to Puerto Rico. And I'm like, yo, we've gone to like the DR together. We've gone to Brazil together. And it's like, bro, there's more opportunities for us to do ministry together. And we've always talked about like going abroad and saving the souls of like the world. And if like for me, I was just like, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but sometimes
that is so hard, bro.
He's like calling you to do something else. And it's like, oh, okay, I just need to be obedient in this season and just be like, dang, I know it sucks, but
yeah.
it's like God has me doing ministry somewhere else.
Right.
You know? And eventually, I'm pretty sure we're all gonna come back together.
Right.
But it just now it's just like, oh, if I like, I know it would have been amazing if you know, if we all got together.
Yeah, but also I remind myself too in those seasons, and I would encourage you guys, if you're going through something similar, or if you do in the future, remember this. I always tell myself, where am I going to be fruitful?
Yeah.
I'm going to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be fruitful where God has planted me, and that's it. Like, I could go, because I saw Puerto Rico too, and I was like, dang it.
I know.
I've wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I could go to Puerto Rico, and it could be great, but if it is not where God's called me,
yep.
I'm taking the place of somebody else and I'm being disobedient. And there's no covering over disobedience. Mm-hmm. Like,
we need
to make sure that our justifications, because I could even justify, oh, it's a missions trip.
Exactly.
Like, the enemy works in very mysterious ways. I love the quote that, I forgot who said it, but this guy said it at Passion. And he was talking about how the enemy does not have to, you know, convince you that God's plans are not good for your life. He just has to distract you from walking in God's plan for your life.
Yeah.
Because I could go to Puerto Rico, and if it's not God's plan for my life, it's just a distraction. Even though it might be obedience for somebody else. It's what has God called me to do in this season? Weigh the options, weigh the sacrifices, and decide if it's worth it to you.
Exactly.
You know?
That's really good.
Going back to this whole vessel talk, because I know I was confused for a while. You kind of know the idea. A vessel is something used to be like to... So something like literally we're something that something can be poured into and like be filled by.
Mm-hmm.
So I view us as a vessel for the Holy Spirit. We are no longer our own. We are now, because Christ died for us, living for Christ, his Spirit's within us, and we are being his hands and feet.
Yeah.
So we are that vessel for Christ to live here on earth and like be the hands and feet of Jesus, praying for each other, touching the nations, like helping save souls, which is why we have that authority within us. But I also love what 2 Timothy says, and I'm going to pull this up. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, and this is what it says. A large house contains not only vessels of gold and silver, but also those of wood and clay. Some indeed are honorable for use, but some are not common for use. So if anyone cleanses himself of what is unfit, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. Flee from your youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and work together with those who call out on the Lord from a pure heart. And if you're wondering how to be used by God, how to be a vessel that God can actually use, it says it right here. Mm-hmm. You need to literally purify yourself from all of this disgusting crap that the world throws at us every single day. Is there an area of my life, of your life, that is holding us back from truly being that vessel God can use? I even think of it as like our dishwasher. Our dishwasher is disgusting. We have so many people living in our house. Malik knows honestly, it. You don't even open that thing. Like, no. You just wash your freaking fork because it's nasty in there.
I thought we broke it the other day.
Oh, it's so bad. So I think about the dishwasher, right? If I cleaned off my fork, put it in the dishwasher, opened it, I could use it. Mm-hmm. If I ate peanut butter from my fork, like somebody likes to do in my house, not going to name names.
Not a spoon?
No. Fork? Sure. I'm using a fork.
Okay.
So if I eat peanut butter from a fork, right? Don't wash it off. Just put it in the dishwasher. Even though I run it, if I pull that fork out, that peanut butter is still going to be on it.
Yeah.
Because you know that don't come off in the dishwasher.
No.
I'm preaching to my family right now. It does not come off in the dishwasher. So you're not going to use it. It doesn't matter if it looks clean. It doesn't matter what the dishwasher says. There is freaking peanut butter still on that fork.
Yeah.
And I think about that when it comes to our lives and how God can use us. It doesn't matter if you're going to church. It doesn't matter how set apart you are. If you have things in your life that are not pleasing to God, you are not a vessel that God can use.
So good.
You're just fooling yourself.
Yeah, you are.
God, you know what I mean? God's going to look for a fork in there or a spoon, if Malik wants that, that is clean, because there are so many other people out there that actually mm-hmm. are setting themselves apart, that are actually sacrificing, that God says, boom, I'm going to use you. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.
Yep.
Are we going to be the few that God can actually use, that sacrifice what our flesh wants, starves the flesh, feeds the spirit, is set apart, clean, purified for him? And I would encourage you guys, remind yourself of this every single day. Otherwise, you'll forget. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22. Read that over your life. Flee from your youthful passions and pursue righteousness. It's an act. We have to pursue it every single day. It doesn't just come to us.
Exactly.
We live in the world. If we're not re-cleaning ourselves every day, just like taking all these distractions out of our ears and really feeding our spirits with truth, we're a victim to the world.
Yeah, that's what it says in Romans, like to transform the renewing of your minds like every day because of what the world throws at us.
It's so important.
Yeah.
If you don't, you've already lost, because you're going to hear the things of the world. We're mm-hmm. in the world.
Yep.
You know?
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
It's literally every day.
It's a war that we've got to fight. And also, I love how it literally calls out the importance of pursuing righteousness, faith, love, peace together with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Look at the motives of those that are around you. Are their hearts truly pure, or do they have those things in their lives that they're not letting go of too? And I think, like, number one, we're called to be good friends
yeah.
and point those out as the body of Christ. But there are some people that it doesn't matter how many times you point it out, they're sticking to what they're sticking to. And then I would encourage you guys, find a new community. Mm-hmm. Find somebody that like actually grows you, points you toward Jesus, because we identify, like, our identity is directly linked to who we identify with.
Exactly.
If we identify with people that are kind of lukewarm, half in, half out, that's going to be our identity. If our identity is with Christ and people that are living like on purpose, set apart, that's going to be our identity,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Like, even the Bible, I wish I was better at, like, knowing where it is in the Bible.
I suck.
I just know what it says.
God's like, come on.
Yeah, there's another verse where it talks about, it literally says people all around the world are going through the same thing that you're going through. So don't yep. ever feel like you're alone.
Yep.
Like, when it comes to, like, struggling with temptations and wanting to be righteous, no, God is with you, and there's people all around the world that's going through the same thing that you're going through. Like, you're True. Literally not alone.
The enemy would love to get us to think that we are alone.
Exactly.
Because that's when he can attack.
Yep.
You think of like sheep with like wolves trying to attack them. They never attack the herd. They attack the one that's straight off
mm-hmm.
because it's easier that way. I used to separate myself a lot. I really did. I love to be by myself. But when you're by yourself is when the enemy can just
mess
go
with your thoughts.
Ham
yeah.
on your mind, yep. man. Go ham on your mind, even with my friend group, because it's easy to be surrounded by people too and be by yourself.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Being alone within a group.
It's true.
Yeah.
Are you getting real? Are you getting vulnerable? Are there people pouring into your life? Are you actually recognizing the lies for what they are, talking about them so that God can shed light on them and truth?
You have to talk about them.
You have to talk about
them. You can't
just
keep them inside and just wonder. Because within the wonder and like, oh, what if this? It's just when it just starts playing. Just starts playing on your mind. And the devil has free reign.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, he has, I heard someone say this before, but like, it's like the enemy roams the air. Like,
that's true.
It was, I forgot who I heard say it, but it was just a concept of like, just like every day we need Jesus because how much of, just like the, where the enemy is and like what he has control over of this world. It was crazy. I wish I could like, I wish I knew more to like articulate it well.
I wonder if God's looking down on us. He's like, good job, guys. You're almost there. Exactly. You almost got it. You get like half of the points right there. Come on, y'all. I'm so proud of you.
Listen, guys,
God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Exactly. So we are just being obedient right now. And I have to believe in faith that he is going to use what we are saying to impact some of you guys. And if he did, make sure you guys send me a DM on my page or on Chosen and Free.
Please.
And repost this to your story. That means the absolute world when y'all grow this family and you guys spread truth. I love seeing what you guys are doing, just using your platforms for good and to really be a light in this dark world. But real quick to wrap up everything, I know we wanted to touch a little bit on identity and authority. So do you just want to talk about those a little bit?
Yeah. So growing up, I struggled with like worth and like feeling worth from Jesus. And like every time I would sin or do something, I would always weigh in and be like, oh, I'm terrible. God doesn't love me. He would never love me. And like this whole rant in my mind of like,
oh,
why,
man,
I'm like a terrible person.
Yeah.
But it was one verse that literally stuck out to me. It was 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, hold on. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when I heard that voice, I was like, dang, God, you see me as this. Like, you've given me authority as this. Like, you see me as chosen. Like, I forget, what did you say? You qualify.
He doesn't call the qualified.
Exactly.
He qualifies the called.
Exactly. And that's what I like thought about. Like, he chose me for such a time as this. And then the next part is like royalty. Like, when you think of royalty, you like, oh, I'm at the top. Like,
yeah,
like I'm like big time. Like, God is like giving me everything I need for royalty. Like, when you're royalty, you don't have to want for anything. Like,
no.
Anything
you don't wonder if you're going to be provided for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, and he says like a holy nation, God's special possession. Like,
I love that.
Like, and when I think about that, I think about like sonship. Like, and I don't know if there's a daughtership, but it's like
daughtership.
Yeah. But it's just like that. The aspect of you're at the table with him. Like, you're not like a peasant who has to eat like the low of the low. Even if you feel like that, God still calls you his son and his daughter, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that verse really impacted my life and just gave me so much power and authority, where it's like, you know what, like, this is who you say I am, and this is what I'm gonna look at, like, as myself as, and walk it out to the fullest capability.
That's good. I love that that verse says chosen. And I love that you brought that up, because that is literally the exact word that God used to free me from everything too.
Dang.
All of my worth,
yep,
like struggles, all of my insecurities, all of my comparison crap, like that word chosen. I looked up the definition, and that's why I started Chosen and Free, because God freed me from a lie that I believe the enemy uses on so many, yep, of us that we've bought into for too long. And it just put a fire in me to help set others free from it, because it's such a lie.
Yeah.
And when you realize it and you grasp it, like Malik was talking about, your life is completely different.
Mm-hmm. Then
you see yourself
you
different. You walk in authority because you know you have power, not because of your own strength, but because of who, yeah, is inside of you, yeah, whose daughter you are, whose son that you are, like whose servant you are.
Yeah.
And to be chosen means to be selected as the best option.
Mm-hmm.
And if God is saying that we are chosen by him, this is not a blanket statement. He's talking directly to you.
Yep.
You are chosen by God. He thought that you were the best option to complete the mission that he has for your life and to be frontline in his army, on his team. It's already done. Like, he said it. I determine whether or not I'm going to walk in it or not.
Exactly.
I can either choose to wallow in this, like, oh my gosh, I'm so insecure, I'm so sad, like, God has got no plans for my life, she's better than me, he's gonna use her but not me because I'm the worst. You can either choose to buy into those lies for the rest of your life or actually believe what God is saying about you. Yep. Is how he feels and is true.
It's our choice,
and that sets us aside from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Is walking in that authority, knowing where our identity is found. And my dad brought this up and I love this too. Even if you're not feeling like you're worthy in all of these things, your disciplines become your identity. What you discipline your mind to dwell on, what you're feeding your thoughts, what you discipline yourself to do. Like, think about the gym. I could be like the way I am right now, you know, a little fluffy. Okay. We had a little elongated winter season.
She okay? is not fluffy.
Yeah. Whatever.
Molly. She has on a bit cold.
Anyways, guys, you feel me. So we could start going to the gym, right? I could be fluffy. They're like, oh yeah, she's fluffy. There's no way. But if I go every single day, discipline myself, at the end of the year, I'm going to be jacked. And that's going to be my identity. Dang, that's the girl that's jacked. And that is literally like how it is with Christ too. You want a relationship with God? Wake up every single day, read his word,
yep.
dwell on his like promises for you and your life. Speak his truth over yourself. Invite him into your every single day life by renewing your mind every day and see as you begin to do that every single day, even if you don't hear him at first, how the relationship begins to grow, how you grow an ear to actually hear his voice and you grow that sensitivity, how he begins to speak to you. And at the end of the day, like that's going to be your identity.
Yeah.
Because it just grows. It grows, you know?
You spend every day with a person. Then you get like how you get to know him.
It's true. And you allow him to speak back to you. Because mm-hmm. there's no relationship. Imagine if I did this podcast with Malik. And he's sitting here with me, right? Malik's guesting on my podcast. And I just talk the whole time.
Yep.
There's no relationship there either. So allow God to answer you. Allow that relationship to be built, whether it's in your word, talking to him. If God puts a prompt in your mind, because he speaks to me like not verbally,
yeah.
but through thoughts in my mind, that I'm like, I'm not smart enough for that. Or I would never tell myself to do that because that is not comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? And you can know if it's the enemy or God because the enemy will never push you to do something that grows the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good way to discern that too. But Malik, one last thing. Any words of advice for all of these people out here, something you wish you would have known when you were like younger?
Let's see. I think it's just the idea that, I think it's like nothing else matters. Like,
true that.
No matter what you have on your plate, how busy you think you are, like nothing truly matters. Matters? I think I said
yeah.
What a D. Matters.
Matters.
Yeah. Matters other than like what God thinks. Like about you, about what you have going on.
True.
If you're doing it for people, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you like suffering with like comparing yourself just to prove that you're better than someone or whatever. It's just like nothing matters except his kingdom, his love, his peace. Like what everything you do, do it for Jesus. Like that's literally all that matters. Don't buy into the world's culture of like, this is what you have to do to be successful and like everything like that. But, you know, just remember that God is the key. Like in Matthew, it talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. But like the key is to seek God first, you know. But that's just my little nugget, you know,
no,
God over everything.
There's so much wisdom in that right there. And I love that you always relate things back to scripture because I want you all to know we don't just do this so that we can talk to you guys, try to sound cool.
Yeah.
Obviously we do not try to sound cool on here. Okay. Talking about dirty forks and peanut butter.
Exactly.
But we do this because we believe God's put a word on our heart that we want you guys to really grasp, because if you grasp what God is trying to speak to you in this season, and it's not just through us, have your own relationship with God, because we can't do that for you. And that's really when God's going to move in your life. But when you really grasp that relationship with God and you begin to see how real he is in your life and how powerful he is and involved, there's nothing that can stop you. There's no power on heaven, in heaven or on earth, principality or power. Like there is nothing that can stop the plans God has for you. And I would just encourage you guys too, because this is something the Lord's put on my heart this week. Make sure that you're thinking of others too, because yes, God's got a plan for your life, but he also wants to use you in someone else's story. So make sure we're not too focused on our own lives that we can't be a side character in somebody else's story, because all of us are important. And when one person succeeds, we all succeed as a body. But it was so fun having you on the podcast, Malik. You're amazing.
This was a blast.
He has so much fun things to say. And we got our headphones in today, so we are really having a good time.
We're bougie today.
We are bougie. And I'm going to pray this out real quick. Dear God, thanks for an amazing, amazing podcast, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you spoke through us, God, that we had some laughs, Lord. God, I pray that you would just help the words that were spoken today to not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but that they would just be consistently in the minds of the listeners, God, and our friends on here, God. Lord, I thank you for every single person you've brought here, Lord. We know it was for a reason, God, that it was not by accident, that you had this moment planned out, God, in their story, because you care about them that much, God. And I just thank you that we are chosen by you, that we are a royal priesthood, Lord God, that we are your sons and your daughters, God, and that you have qualified us because of the spirit within us. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We pray you'd expand our borders, expand our kingdom, expand for your kingdom, God. And we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love you guys so much. I'll see y'all next week. Thank y'all so much for hanging with us today. It was so much fun having you be a part of our conversation. I hope the podcast today brought you joy, life, and that you got to hear your Heavenly Father speak directly into your life. Before this podcast ends, do not forget to click the download button and to subscribe so you do not miss out on any further episodes or any fun things going on. And also drop a review. I would love to hear what you guys want to hear in the future and see what God is doing in your life right now. I love y'all. You're chosen by God. There are amazing plans for your life. Until next time.